This week the sermon is called Vital Signs. The reading is Psalm 78, 1-4. My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done.
Good morning, everyone. Glad to have you with us today. Barb and I were up to the Sunridge area this past weekend and celebrating the wonderful life of June Kent, who lived into her 90s, a really lovely person. And I can say this without any kind of question, that it was a happy funeral. We come together to celebrate a happy life. One who was a remarkable woman, very faithful to God, faithful to her family and friends in the community, and we just shared together. One of the things about birth and death and life is it brings all of us together, and we're part of this large family of God, many of whom, most of whom, we don't know, because they're already with God, or there are in other parts of the world. We're not an island. We're not isolated people. We're not a Christian to ourselves only, but we belong to a family of God. And death does not stop that. I love what the Apostle Paul says. No one lives to himself alone, and no one dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die in the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord, and we belong to one another. So we're delighted to have you with us today. I echo the words that we're going to miss Mark and Marion when they move to Ottawa. Mark was an elder in our church for quite a few years. Marion has just been a constant servant in our church and in the community for many, many years, so we'll miss them. So let's just say good morning to one another, and if you have the opportunity to talk. So there are occasions in our life when we need to visit the doctor's office, and 9 times out of 10, if you visit the doctor's office, he's going to be checking your vital signs. The Bible talks about our spiritual vital signs. They don't actually use those words, but that's exactly what we're doing, checking every once in a while our own vital signs. So sometimes the doctor says, you can check your own vital signs. You can check your blood pressure and so forth and so on. And it's true with Scripture that every once in a while, we just need to stop and examine ourselves, each one of us. Where am I? How are things going in my spiritual life? I want to spend a little bit of time talking about this. And as I was rereading some of these Scriptures, I just couldn't help but chuckle, because it's talking a little bit today about how the parents, family, brothers and sisters of Jesus question him. So if you were at Church in the Park, it didn't actually happen in the park. We ended up at Tintern. I'm going to repeat some of the things that I shared there about Jesus begins his ministry and his own family begin to question him. They were thinking, if you really are the Messiah, you would be doing some stupendous things, but you seem not to be. Even though you are doing some pretty incredible miracles, we had this concept that a Messiah would come into his own, that he would remove the Roman Empire of any kind of political strength, that the Messiah would serve the world by leading the world in Jerusalem, where his throne would be, and all of our fellow Israelites, we would help rule the world with him. As James and John both said to Jesus, when you come into your kingdom, one of us wants to sit on your right, one of us wants to sit on your left. They had this political idea of Jesus. And when Jesus begins his ministry, even his own family begin to question him. They're wondering, what's this all about? And as you go out into the community, all you seem to be doing is telling stories. What's this all about? In some ways, I kind of think it's humorous. Jesus is telling parables, and then they ask Jesus, and I'm going to be using a variety of scriptures today in Matthew chapter 13, his disciples ask him, why do you speak in stories? I mean, I like to tell stories. I like to hear stories. Why do you speak in stories? Why do you speak in parables? And Jesus says, I'll answer that parable by telling you a parable. I'll answer the question by telling you a parable. Why do you speak in parables? Well, let me tell you a parable explaining why I speak in parables. He's just constantly sharing these stories. And his family begins to question Jesus. Matthew 12, 46, while Jesus was speaking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you. And the reply of Jesus is cryptic. Who is my mother and who are my brothers? Because they were questioning Jesus. Pointing to his disciples, Jesus said, here are my mother and brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Now, it was interesting. I'd like to read a passage from Mark chapter 3. It's a powerful passage about the family of Jesus and them not believing in him, which always questions me. I just think about this constantly. When the angel came and spoke to Mary, telling her that she would give birth to the Son of God. And she accepted that, and then the birth takes place, and you know all that story. But as Jesus begins his ministry, she questions him. He can't be the Messiah. He isn't doing what we thought he would be doing. And so in Mark chapter 3, starting in 20, it says, Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. And when the family of Jesus heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said about Jesus, he is out of his mind. That's a powerful passage. That for a while, even his family stood back and said, we really want nothing to do with him. He's not acting the way we think a Messiah should act. But if there's another passage to me that's very powerful, is found in John chapter 7, 1 through 5. And it is a powerful passage to the point of the fact that even Jesus' own brothers wanted to have someone get rid of him, take his life. He is embarrassing us so much, we want someone to get rid of him from this earth. Listen to what happens. John 7, beginning in verse 1. Jesus went around in Galilee, purposely staying away from Judea, catch this, because the Jews there were waiting to take his life. Don't go to Judea. If you go to Judea, you're going to die. You're going to be murdered in Judea. The Jews there were waiting to take his life. When the Jewish Feast of the Tabernacles was near, Jesus' brothers said to him, you ought to leave here and go to, where do you think? Judea. We're going to get rid of you there. Your life will be gone there. You are embarrassing us. You ought to go to Judea so that your disciples may see the miracles you do. They weren't really interested in that. They wanted rid of him. And then he said, no one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. Since you are doing these things, show yourself to the world. For even his own brothers did not believe in him. There's a passage in the scriptures that is haunting to me. It said then to the disciples, each one of them then went to their own home. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. I used to think he went to the Mount of Olives because that was his place of rest. I now think that Jesus went to the Mount of Olives because he had no place to go. The disciples went to their own homes. Jesus' family turned his back on him. I think on occasion he would go to the Mount of Olives to pray. But to think of this, in Colossians chapter 1, it says, everything that was made, Jesus made. He was with God from the very beginning. And all things that were made, Jesus made. And the one who created the universe was homeless. He had no place to lay his head. He couldn't go home. He wasn't welcome home. And so the story of Jesus beginning his ministry, I think if it were me or anyone else, there would be such a heavy burden on us that as we're trying to go out into the world and do good and to share ministry, that people are turning their backs on us left and right. And here we are all alone. And we have this group of people who are gathering around us, these disciples, and they're following along with us, but they begin to question us. The question they keep asking is, why do you speak in parables? And I think I see humor in this. Jesus smiles. You're asking me this question. Why do I speak in parables? Well, let me tell you a parable about why I speak in parables. And that's what happens. So in Matthew chapter 13, we have this amazing passage. The disciples came and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? And he replies, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to the rest of the world. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him. Clear? No. What? Why do you speak in parables? Well, what do you think about the parables? What does this mean to you? And they're lost. They're confused. So Jesus begins his ministry being questioned by his family, by his friends. His own disciples can't figure him out. The world has turned his back. The political figures want nothing to do with him. The religious people, the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, they wanted nothing to do with him. They wanted to get rid of him. And Jesus tells these stories. And one of the stories or a parable is the story of checking your own vital signs. And the parable is a well-known parable. A farmer goes out to sow a seed. And as he was scattering seed, some fell along the path and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it didn't have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. And then the sun came up and the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Others fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plant. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has an ear, let him hear. And that's when, after Jesus tells this parable, they're going, huh? What? What? We think you're the Messiah. You're beginning your ministry. You're telling us this story. What does it mean? Because in their mind, they have this whole concept of who a Messiah would be. And you're just telling stories that we don't know what they mean. Why are you saying this? And then Jesus does something that the first time I read it, I kind of dismissed it, but I think it's the strength of his parable, is he quotes a scripture that they knew. See, when Jesus is speaking, there is no New Testament written. It's only the scriptures from the prophets and Moses, the commandments, the law, and he reminds them of what Isaiah said. He says this, This is why I speak to people in parables, Isaiah. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's hearts have become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they've closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I will heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but did not see it, and hear what you hear, and did not hear it. And then he says, stop. I've told you this story. Now let me explain it to you so that when I continue to tell stories in my ministry, you'll get it right away. Listen to the story. And I don't know about you, but I love to watch great movies. I love to read good books. I love to hear stories because they stay with us. Many of us remember from a young age a movie that we've watched, and we keep watching it over and over again. I know I've talked about this at length over the years, but one of my favorite movies of all time is A Christmas Carol with Alistair Sim starring in it, Story of Scrooge. I don't know how many times I have watched that movie. I have no idea. Many times. And I can guarantee that every time I watch it, I learn something new. There's something unique about the stories that Jesus tells, because we're all at different parts of our life, age-wise, health-wise, circumstance-wise. And sometimes a story that you maybe have heard many, many times and never really paid attention to it, it grabs us and it never lets us go. The first parable Jesus tells has this background of people questioning him, not thinking he's the Messiah, wondering why he's telling these stories. It's a simple, basic story, but it's a story that begins all of his parables, which always includes you and I checking our spiritual vital signs. It's not just reading the story and trying to comprehend it. It's this. How is this teaching going to change my life? How is it going to help me to help others to see Jesus? How can I grow? How can I make the world a better place? How does Jesus want me to act in this life and in this world? And here's the story. Here's the parable of all parables, because we find ourselves in one of these things or in many of these things. And Jesus begins to explain the parable. This is what he says, verse 18 of Matthew chapter 13. Listen to what the parable of the sower means. Checking our vital signs. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and doesn't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. First point, Jesus says, you may begin your spiritual life with vigor and say, I'm going to feel this way for the rest of my life. I'm going to be this close to God forever and forever. And then something happens, and we question. And maybe a couple of weeks go by, and we stop, and we check our spiritual vital signs, and we say, what happened? I felt like I was going to be this strong forever. And so Jesus said, faith isn't always level. Sometimes we have to go into some deep valleys in order to come back and to continue to grow. And after a while, after getting beaten down by life a few times, we learn to grow. We know these things are going to happen to us, but we also understand the promise of God. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am always with you, especially in difficult times. And then he says in verse 20, what was sown on rocky places is the person who hears the word, receives it with joy. But since there's no root, it lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes of the word, that person quickly falls away. And then he says, and what was sown among the thorns is the person who hears the word, but all of a sudden, all the worries of life, all of the worries of life choke it and make it unfruitful. You don't have to answer out loud, but did you come to church worried today? What worried you this past week? What burdens do you carry? A personal note this morning, very, very early, I'm an early morning person. I sat quietly and just talked to God because of family situations and difficulties and so forth. Verify that. Barbara and I are great. But loved ones in our family whom we know are struggling, and everybody has family members who struggle. Every once in a while, it can sort of choke out all of the good things that we have in life. So early this morning, I kept rereading this, and I kept asking myself, well, where do I find myself in this? Do worries come? Yep. Do difficult times come? Yep. But the promise of God is always there. I'm with you right now, right in the middle of all of these things. Worries want to choke it out. And then he says, but what was sown on good soil is the person who hears it, understands it, puts themselves in the position of saying, here's what's happening. Where am I? What can I do? How can I be an encouragement? Knowing that if you have worries, other people do too. So how can we help one another with this? What difficulties are people dealing with, and how can we share it? And then the last of all is beautiful. What was sown on the good soil is the person who hears the word, understands it, produces a crop, yielding measure beyond measure beyond measure. It's Jesus beginning his ministry, telling a parable as to why he tells parables. And the parable of parables is this: we're all in it together. We're here for one another, to help one another. And the great reminder of all, the promise of Jesus, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am with you always. And if we can make that commitment back to God and to one another, we will grow in our faith. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets Sunday mornings at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We have classes for all ages at 9:30, and the worship service begins at 10:30. You can subscribe to podcasts through Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music Store, or your favorite podcast app. Just search for Beamsville. All our past sermons and more information about our congregation are available at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.